It's Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson. We've been talking a little bit this week about tech being used in the wake of natural disasters. The first line of rescue for a lot of people in Texas who have been impacted by Tropical Storm Harvey, 200 miles across when it made landfall as a hurricane some days ago, is emergency dispatch. But 911 systems use cell network infrastructure that can be overburdened in an event like this one. And in other cases, text is a better way to reach out for help. We reached out to Trey Forgety, Director of Government Affairs and Information Security Issues at NINA, the 911 Association, to talk a little bit about the future of emergency dispatch technology. Trey, thanks for talking with us. Is this text to 911 everywhere or what?
Text to 911 is a very new technology in our world. 911 has been around on a voice basis since 1968. Text messaging has only been here about 3 or 4 years, and because our local 911 centers are all individually funded. They're not funded at the state or federal level usually. As a result of that, the rollout is proceeding county by county, in some cases city by city, and just not everyone has their technology up to date yet.
How can it help in situations like Hurricane Harvey?
In cases where text to 911 is available in the area affected by a disaster, there may be circumstances where a cellular network is not operating at its maximum capacity. And in those cases, sometimes text messaging can be the last best lifeline that lets you get through to 911 if your local 911 center supports it and the network is still just up enough to carry a text message.
Does text to 911 cost more than calling 911?
Text 911 costs exactly the same as calling 911, which is to say for the caller, it's completely free for the call. The way it is actually delivered today in a lot of cases costs nothing more for the 911 center because in some cases it's as easy as accepting text messages through a browser session.
What kind of next generation technology would you like to see deployed that you're not seeing deployed right now?
The biggest capabilities of next generation 911 that haven't really been deployed yet are the ability to do two-way and multi-way video, to actually see the caller at the same time that they call 911 with a video call.
Huh.
And that can be absolutely critical for identifying a suspect or a vehicle or an assailant. So those are that's one big thing. The other big thing is as we move to IP-based technology, we'll get capabilities that we don't have today to move calls around. So right now when one 911 center is affected by a disaster, it's very difficult to get their calls or their overload transitioned off to another center.
Huh.
Next-gen 911 will let us do that much more easily and improve service to the public.
Trey Forgety is the Director of Government Affairs and Information Security Issues at NINA, the 911 Association. Trey, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This week, Google debuted a new platform for building augmented reality apps and experiences into smartphones without the need to use extra hardware. The platform's called AR Core. It's aimed towards the geeks who are building things at the bleeding edge of this kind of technology to superimpose holographic images into the real world viewed through your phone screen. But the larger goal is to help augmented reality reach a wider audience. The Verge's senior reporter, Addie Robertson, got an up-and-close demo of AR Core and wrote about it for The Verge. Addie, thanks for talking with us.
Hi.
You've been looking at a lot of phone-based augmented reality, which a lot of people think is more useful than virtual reality headsets. Are our devices finally approaching a level of computing power that might make this stuff widely used?
It's a difficult question because it's hard to tell how much of this is computing power and how much of it is sort of improvements in machine vision.
Okay.
Because you have things like Google is pushing visual search, so you can point your camera at a flower, and it's not augmented reality the way we think of it, but it says, okay, I know what that flower is. And so if you combine that with the simple ability to render objects on a camera, then suddenly you have a great improvement in what augmented reality can do that's not purely hardware-based.
Yeah, I mean, the other day I was walking over a bridge and I stopped because there was this, like, crazy fish feeding happening below me. Is the future of this stuff pointing my phone at the fish to answer my what fish is that question?
That is definitely what Google hopes will happen. And Furthermore, if it's, I don't know, a fish that you have caught, you point your phone at it and say, what kind of fish is this? And also, how do I cut it if I want to cook it? uh-huh. and it overlays the lines that you would want to cut or something like that.
Apple's making its own version of this kind of thing called AR Kit. Do you think AR Core will be or can be competitive?
I think that really all Google has to do is make an augmented reality platform that is easy enough to use that developers can port anything they put on iOS to Android. And at that point, it doesn't really have to be better. It just has to be good enough that everything works on both platforms. And that's where Google's real advantage comes in, because then if anything integrates maps or search or all these Google features, whether it's on iOS or Android, that stuff goes through Google.
Addie Robertson, she is senior reporter at The Verge, covering virtual and augmented reality. Addie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you have had me as your co-pilot on All Things Tech for several years now at Marketplace. I don't know if I'm Han Solo and you're the Wookiee or if it's the other way around, but we've had a great time together. I'll be leaving Marketplace at the end of this month. For listeners of our longer broadcast, get ready for a new and engaging show from Marketplace and the BBC. For listeners of our tech content, I'm leaving you in the capable hands of Molly Wood. What about me? I'm stepping out of your radio and into your touchscreen. I'm headed into podcast land. We got a few more days together, though, so let's enjoy it. Stay in touch with me on Twitter. I'm at TheBrockJohnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.